So what a beautiful thing to be with you guys. What a beautiful day to be a part of celebration together. I was talking to Chaplain Chuck last week, and we were discussing the mess that people are going through right now. You know, in the state of Michigan, those of you that are watching that aren't in this Michigan right now, we got fires going and flooding going. You know, so you got fires and you got flooding. We got stay home order, but evacuate order. We got all kinds of things happening. And it's like, wow, where do you go? What do you do? I look to Jesus. Yes, it is a shift. We turn to Jesus. We turn to his word. Last week I came to you talking about, the title of the message was, boom, the word. And because his word drops in your spirit like a boom, the revelation of God drops in you just like a boom. It's those suddenlies that take place in our life. Thursday morning, I've been doing a thing for the past few weeks, Coffee with Mike. Get on at 8:30 on our Zoom through Shield of Faith Ministries. And I was like, man, Lord, this, you know, the flooding's been happening. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And give me a word, and what do we talk about? And he says, you know, I am the your ever-present help in time of trouble. And I'm like, Lord, man, I think that's word. I know that's word. It was like, boom, just dropped in my spirit. But I had to look it up to find the address. You know, okay, Google, you are my ever-present help in time of trouble, you know. And sure enough, Psalm 46:1, you know, and we started our conversation, Coffee with Mike, Psalm 46:1. God is the very presence. He's there with us. He is our helper in times of trouble. So again, as last week I was laying out that there is a very distinct difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is part of the five senses. It's perception that comes in the ears. And no matter what's going on, you hear. Like, I'm hear my voice right now, but I hear things in the background. Papers ruffle, different things like that. Hearing happens. It just happens. But listening is something that you do on purpose. Listening is something where you take what you've heard and you now apply meaning to it and understanding to it. Are you with me? That is a very quick recap of what I spoke on last week. This week, I want to continue in that area of how we listen and then understand. Title of today's message is simply Rock. And I bring to you scripture out of 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 through 3. And he said, the 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 and 3. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my Savior. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield, the strength of my salvation, my stronghold, that's a meaning for rock also, my refuge, my Savior who saved me from violence. God is our rock. Amen? Amen. That very foundation, Jesus Christ, that we stand on. His word is a rock for me. In my business that I do outside of pastoring and with everyday life, I've learned that in our calendars of life, we have to set things called rocks. Rocks are something that are immovable in your calendar. To come to church on Sunday morning, it's a rock for me. It doesn't change. I come to church, right? An appointment that I have, it's a rock in my calendar so that I keep it. See, the rock is something that I put into place that I make sure that I'm going to keep it because I'm standing on that. Are you with me? God is our rock. He is our rock, our fortress, and our Savior. Matthew 16:13 through 19, out of God's Word, says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple, who do people say the Son of Man is? Verse 14, and they answered, some say you are John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Verse 15, and he asked them, but who do you? I'm asking you that are watching on Facebook, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Remember that. Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus replied, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed. No human revealed this to you. This is God's word. This is out of verse 17. If you're in your Bible, underline whatever it says there. This says, no human has revealed it to you. It may say this wasn't revealed to you by humans, but it was revealed by my heavenly Father. Verse 18, you are Peter, and I guarantee that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Now listen to me. No human revealed this to Peter, but what revealed this to Peter? Who revealed this to Peter? God the Father revealed this to Peter, is what Jesus says. So the question would be, is do you think Jesus, or do you think Peter was listening? Do you see what I'm saying? There's a difference between hearing and listening. And so Jesus tells Peter, yeah, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. They will not overpower it. Verse 19, I give you the keys. We heard this prophetically this morning. Nobody has copies of my notes. Coming from Mike Barnes, the keys of the kingdom of heaven are given to you, and whatever you imprison or bind or forbid on earth will be imprisoned. And whatever you set free will be set free. Amen? And so I'm here to tell you that there are locks that are being unlocked. We have the keys. We have the keys to bind. We have the keys to loose. It's been given to us on that rock, that immovable stone. That rock is what the church is built on. Understand this. Hear what I'm saying. Peter is not the rock that the church is built on. You need to hear what I'm saying. I want religious minds to be broken. Peter is not the rock that the church is built on. What was revealed to Peter is the rock that what the church is built on. Do you hear what I'm saying? And what was revealed to Peter? That Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the deliverer, our Savior. That is what the church is built on. That revelation, understanding, and the only way to get that is to hear and comprehend what God has told you. Yes, what Peter had revealed to him, yes, that is very important. But it's not Peter himself that the church is built on, people. It's the revelation of who Jesus Christ is what the church is built on. Peter is not our Savior. Paul is not our Savior. None of the disciples are our Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Through Jesus, we receive grace. Amen? Through Jesus, we receive mercy. Amen? No man. There is no preacher, there is no pastor, there is no priest, rabbi in all of creation except Jesus Christ that we build the church on. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's important to get that. John 1:5, I talked about it last week. I got to bring it back up. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness does not see. They cannot see. In other words, those in the world can't see. They are the ones that call good evil and evil good. But it's not their fault. They can't see. They're not our enemy. They can't see. What a horrible thing it is to be blind. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is absolutely, that if I'm afraid of anything, it would be going blind. Last thing in the world I want to do is go blind and not be able to see. What a horrible thing. That is why our heart should break for the world. Because they're blind and they can't see the truth. You are set free. You have the truth. You are blessed. Oh my gosh, that's cool stuff. Amen. Our hearts should break for the world because they can't see. They can't comprehend. They don't understand. Yes, it makes me angry. Yes, it stirs my natural self when I see people blinded and call good things evil and evil things good. But they're not the enemy. The God of this world is our enemy. But we need to know these things. We need to discern that. And so I talk about understanding, and I want to bring a definition of it. Understand, the biblical definition of understand is the ability to discern, the ability to know what is God's will and not. If knowledge is power, wisdom is your choice to use or apply that power. Understanding is the ability to understand one's knowledge and choices. We've got to have understanding. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool does not find joy in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion." Anybody ever met someone who's opinionated and it's always about their opinion? I'm telling you, if you come to me for counseling, it's not going to be based on my opinion. It has to be based on God's word. That's my license and certification, is God's word. It's not any kind of theological school, but it is God's word. But that is how we are to counsel everything that takes place in our life. If you got a problem going on, what does the word say about it? Because I guarantee you the answer's in there. It's in there. Because nothing that is happening right now is new. Come on. Nothing that is happening right now is, oh my gosh, making God concerned or new to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he's laid it out in his word. So we have to have understanding. You see, the word under means below or beneath. The word stand means supporting an upright position where your feet are planted, what you're standing on. Understanding. Understanding. What are you standing on? To me, that's a big revelation. Maybe it's not to you. If you understand what I'm saying, say you understand. What are you standing on? What are you standing on? When worry comes, when fret comes, when disaster comes, when messes come. And I never got to that, but what Chaplain Chuck and I were talking about earlier this week was, we were talking about all the messes, and it's like, how could you not have a message nowadays with all of the messes? You know, the messes in life give us messages, but they only give us a message if we're listening. Yes. So I'm saying, the only way not to have a message right now for you in your own life and what's going on is you're not listening. But if you listen, God will give you the message. Do you hear what I'm saying? And some of you are going through more than others. I know that. But we're always going to go through something. That means we've always got a message. If we're listening, if we're attentive to hear, what are you standing on? Your understanding. What are your feet planted on? The solid rock or sinking sand? And so we move on. Matthew 13, 10 through 18. Verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10 through 18. The disciples asked him, "Why do you use stories?" They're talking to Jesus. "Why do you use stories as illustrations when you speak to people?" And Jesus answered, "Knowledge about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you." Say, that's me. "But it has not been given to the crowd." Another reason, though, also to have a heart of compassion for the world. Not only are they blind, they can't hear. They can't understand. That's the world. But we have been sent into the world. Not me. We, the church, has been sent. These mysteries, say that's me, I understand. Amen. Those who understand these mysteries will be given more knowledge, and they will excel in understanding them. That's good. However, some people don't understand these mysteries. Even what they understand will be taken away from them. My heart breaks for them. This is why I speak to them in this way. They see, but they're blind. They hear, but they don't listen. They don't even try to understand. So they make Isaiah's prophecy come true. You will hear clearly, but never understand. You will see clearly, but never comprehend. These people have become closed-minded and hard of hearing. They have shut their eyes. I'll come back to this. The other day in prayer, I was praying, and I was asking God, I said, how is it when you put a little tiny light into a dark room, that little tiny light shines? How is it that people stay blinded? How is it that the world stays blind? I couldn't understand. I couldn't comprehend. And I was listening, so I could comprehend. And God said it's because their eyes are shut. It's because they're going through life with these blinders on. Their eyes are shut. You see, my eyes are shut right now. I don't see the lights. We have to pray that the world will open their eyes. They're not our enemy. They're just blind. They're just blind. Closed-minded, hard of hearing, and they've shut their eyes so that their eyes never see. Their ears never hear. Their minds never understand, and they never return to me for healing. Oh my gosh, another reason for my message right now is changing. I'm just having a heart of compassion for the world right now, guys, because they don't get healing. They don't return to Jesus for healing, the author and finisher of our faith. They don't receive it. You see, there's healing. We just heard today that there's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the blood. We had communion this morning. We understand these things, but they don't. And they walk around miserable and destitute, looking for counterfeits to satisfy them and help them. And the counterfeit is doing nothing but destroying them even more. And Satan and his hordes continue to win. But you're the victory. You're the victory. You quite possibly are the very victory they need in this present time. And we read on. I can guarantee. Let me go here. Verse 16. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Thank you, Lord. Verse 17. I can guarantee this truth. Many prophets and many of God's people longed to see what you see, but didn't see it. To hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. Verse 18. Listen to what the story about the farmer means. And Jesus goes on to explain verses 19 through 23, and this is where I'm closing, guys. Someone hears the word about the kingdom, but doesn't understand it. The evil one comes at once and snatches away what was planted in him. This is what the seed planted along the road illustrates. There's people out there, they know and have heard that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, but it's just been kind of sprinkled. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Yes, some plant, you might be, it's planting season right now, guys. Maybe you're the ones that need to be planting. Some water, maybe you're the very living water that needs to be. You see, these seeds, they're just along the roadside, and it easily doesn't get deposited. Verse 20, the seed planted on rocky ground is the person who hears the word and accepts it at once with joy. Woo! Jesus saves! But since he doesn't have any root, it lasts only a little while. When suffering or persecution comes along because of the word, he immediately falls from faith. Right now, some of you have had flooding in your houses. Some of you have been dealing with sickness. But if you still have faith in God, you can be rest assured, man, the seed's been planted deep in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you find that faith faltering, go back to this story in Matthew and go, okay, how do I get it deeper? Maybe it needs to be plowed a little deeper. Maybe it needs to be watered a little more. The seed planted among the thorn bushes, it's another person who hears the word. But the worries of life and the deceitful pleasures of riches choke the word so it cannot produce anything. In verse 23, I believe that's those of you that are here, and I believe those of you that are watching. I hope this is us. But the seed planted on good ground is the person who hears and understands the word. This type produces a crop, but not just any crop. I mean, this is a crop that's produced 30, 60, or 100-fold of what was planted. More than enough. You see, Jesus came not to just give us life, but abundant life, right? John 10:10. Abundant life. Not just what was planted, but 30, 60, or even 100 times more. And that's what we have the opportunity to have. What is your understanding? What are you standing on? Where are you at in life right now? God is speaking all the time. I said this last week. He's speaking all the time. His very name is the Word. John 1:1. 1 John 1:1. Not 1 John, but John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God is the Word. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's speaking all the time. Let's close in prayer. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that we would just continue to have the ears that hear, the eyes that see. Father, may we be the living letter of your word, Father, that may we bring comfort to this hurting world. Father, right now, with my brothers and sisters on Facebook and those that are here, we lift up those that don't know you, those that are blinded by the God of this world, those that hear but can't understand, those that see but are blind. Father, I pray that the blinders would be removed, that their eyes would be open, that they would be able to know that you are the one and true God, that you love them, and all they have to do is come to you, and you will forgive them, and you will bring new life to them. They will be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old will be past, and the new will come in you. Father, may we continue to move in boldness. May we love those that don't know you to the cross. May we love them to the cross. May we love them to the cross, Lord. May we love them to the cross. Father, your word says that kindness turns away wrath. Father, those that don't know you, I pray that someone who's kind that knows you comes in their path. I thank you for a rock-solid understanding, Lord, and the firm foundation in which our church is built on. The church is built on your word that says you, Jesus Christ, are the Messiah, our deliverer. Father, bless my brothers and sisters, those here, those that are watching, safety upon them all. I pray, God, for an increase in the supernatural, an increase in your prophetic word, an increase in prophesying, an increase in dominion, an increase in overcoming, an increase in victory. Father, I still, with my brothers and sisters, declare 2020 the best year ever in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.